We are endeavoring to reclaim the Christian year, and today is a continuation of Easter. I think about how many folks were here last week, and I wonder, were they all just coming because they thought I was going to preach? And they thought maybe I was still sick and didn't show up this Sunday. So, but anyway, it's a continuation of the Easter story, and this is Thomas Sunday. And if you have seen all the heard the children's sermon and reading of Scripture, and Larry and I did a lot of discussion and in preparation for these series of times, and I hope that when you come and worship, that you will look for the theme of Easter and of resurrection and of the message that the Christian year proclaims. And during this series, we're going to be celebrating communion, and for you to come and to stand and not kneel during this time, because this is not a time of repentance, but a time of celebration. Story was told about a Texas rancher, cowboy type, who began to purchase some ranches. He wanted his ranch to be bigger, and so he purchased the Circle M, and then he purchased another spread, Rockin' K, and the Wounded Knee, Apache Ridge, Ball Mountain, Lazy S, and all these different ranches. And one gentleman came to him and he said, "Wow, so now I guess you have a lot of cattle." He said, "Yeah, but most of them die after being branded." Because they were branding them with all the names of the different ranches that he had bought. When you think about Thomas, it's almost the same for him. Being branded, doubting Thomas. And yet, we don't know a whole lot about him, but what we do know does not seem to verify that he was a doubting Thomas at all. John chapter 11, we have Thomas when he is there with Jesus, and Jesus is journeying to be with Lazarus and his grieving family. And though the disciples knew what was happening in Jerusalem and how that there was so much anger and hostility and vile that was being directed toward Jesus, and Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem, and Thomas makes that statement, "Well, let us go and die with him." Later on in chapter 14, Jesus says, "You know the way." And Thomas says, "We don't know the way and where you're going." And Jesus makes that statement to him that we know so well, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas was the catalyst of a lot of strong statements. I've shared with you before when I was talking with this lady from Syria who was a devout Christian and just loved to talk about her Lord and Savior, and she spoke in a broken English, and many times we would share and she would talk about the priest there and her family and how committed they were to Christ and to the mission. And one day I just asked Malachi, I said, "Malachi, who do you credit with bringing the gospel to Syria?" And she said, "Thomas." In reading for this sermon today, I discovered that Thomas was also credited with taking the gospel to India. And so here is this individual that we refer to as Doubting Thomas, and yet he is very obvious a part of phenomenal ministry. As I think about Easter and last Sunday and the joy and the celebration of the resurrection. And then this week as it progresses, and here are these disciples of the risen Savior locked in this room full of fear. I wonder what their conversation was about. And I think of the various evangelical programs that we have been a part of in the Methodist Church since I have been in the ministry. And you know, I doubt that the disciples were talking about, well, one of us will go to this part of the country and the other one will share in this, and we'll challenge the whole world that is known to us today. We'll reach out with this gospel. Rather, fear had gripped them. Sometimes animals, as they search for their prey, if they can strike fear into the prey, many times the prey will just be paralyzed while the lion just comes up and grabs them. In reality, if they weren't so afraid, they could run away. I speculate that that's the disciples. They were paralyzed with fear. This resurrection that had taken place with their master hadn't reached them yet. I wonder how this message that Christ had risen, I wonder how they were responding to it there, closed into that room. And the Bible says that Thomas wasn't there. I wonder where Thomas was. I wonder what he was doing, knowing this little bit that we know about him. And then, of course, Christ appears to them and they tell Thomas. And there are many people in our world that speak of miraculous experiences where the saint or the Virgin Mary or someone else has appeared to them, and there are these stories that sustains their faith. But that's not the way for most of us. Most of us are believers because our parents or grandparents brought us to church. I remember a little old lady that played the piano in a church called Fingerville United Methodist Church when I was a pastor there, and she used to tell me about being brought to church as a little baby riding in a buggy, being brought up a dusty dirt road. And for most of us, that's what we know. We know what has been told us, and we have embraced this faith. And maybe for some of us, there are those times when we too have our doubts. We too may struggle with our faith. This past week, I was talking to one of my minister friends. Those of us who are Methodists know this is the time of appointments. There are much celebration and weeping and gnashing of teeth during this time. But I listened as this young man began to talk about, well, I think maybe I might look at a different avenue of ministry. That I may get out of the appointive system. And I thought about myself, and it brought back such vivid memories to me as I looked through the classified section as a young man saying, just what can you do with a master of divinity in society other than preach? There were those times of wondering. And yet, as I listened to this young man talk, a young man that I have grown to love and to care for, and have seen his ministry as it has blossomed, and I thought about my own journey. My journey of faith has taken me through doubts and victories. That has taken me through celebrations and defeats. And I think about these disciples. What is it that stirs faith within us? Oh, if we could see the nail prints in the hands and put that would be one thing. But it would only be for each one of us individually. There's no way that you could convince someone else of what you had experienced. But yet there's something here that is very evident that speaks to all of us. And it's the resurrection that took place with those disciples when they were freed from their fears and began to reach out to the world and to share this hope of the gospel, of which you and I today, as we sit here on this Easter Sunday, are the byproducts of their ministry. As we celebrate the life of John Wesley and what he meant to our world, and that day when he too found his faith renewed there at Aldersgate. As I look at the lives of individuals that have been changed by the gospel of Christ, therein is my renewed resurrection. I think the question that maybe we can ask ourselves as we worship here on this Sunday, does our doubt so overwhelm us that we think that the best years of the church are behind us? Are we willing to say that the best years of Main Street United Methodist Church have already dawned and now we're in the sunset? Or are we willing to allow Christ to work within us for a renewed resurrection and a renewed hope that stirs us out of our fears and stirs us out of our defeats and stirs us out of our apathy and causes us to reach out and to share this good news of the gospel with men and women and boys and girls who haven't heard that there is a resurrected Jesus Christ? Christ speaks to us, I think, today. He speaks to us, and He embraces us in the midst of our doubts. He embraces us with all of the fears, with all of those things that life brings to us. And He breathes upon us and fills us with His Spirit and calls us to reach out and to touch others in His name. There is resurrection. There is resurrection that continues for each one of us, not just once, but over and over and over again in our lives, in our Christian journey. Calling us, like Thomas, let us go and die with Him. Not only let us go and die with Him, but let us go and live with Him. And this morning, as we come to receive these communion elements, let us again embrace our doubts, our fears, and our faith as we celebrate this time together.